Welcome to the Spirituality of Strength Training with your host, Anna Willard. This podcast is dedicated to bring you knowledge, wisdom, inspiration, and guidance to wherever you may be on your health journey. For those who are new to me, I am a kettlebell strength coach, a movement nerd ninja, and an empowerment coach on a mission to bring you hope through our health. The root word of health comes from wholeness. The root word of wholeness comes from holy. Despite our differences with religion and spiritual beliefs, we are all human beings with a body that is designed to reflect this holiness through our health. It wasn't until my 7th year as a health profession where I went into a deep awakening of understanding what does it mean to train my spirit and to heal my spirit through the physical. You'll hear a little bit more about my story from other health professionals, from strength coaches, psychiatrists, spiritual gurus and leaders, to other people who talk about the importance of our health as a community body and the health of our planet as well. This podcast is to allow us to step into our whole health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you for being here. If you love what you hear, I encourage you to subscribe. If you want more inspiration and quotes from these podcasts, I encourage you to follow me on Instagram at @Anna_Willard_. I encourage you to do a little bit of a movement, either a yoga flow, go for a walk, sit in nature, as you enjoy this episode. Hey, strong ones, welcome to the show. We have Karen Smith with us today. She is a Strong First master instructor and also on the advisory board. And she has been with Strong First since the very beginning, which started in 2012. Is that right, Karen?
Right.
Yeah.
End of 2012.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. My first question, well, first off, you're the very first Iron Maiden. Is that correct?
You know what? It looks like that from being online, but actually I'm not. I'm actually the fourth. So
interesting.
The first person, I'm not exactly sure who that was. It was way back. And it was actually before it was even called the Iron Maiden. And then the second person was Asha Wagner, who's one of our team leaders.
Right.
And then the third was Valerie Hedlund, who is also a team leader, and then myself. So we kind of all were in the early years. I did get it in 2012, early 2012, when we were actually the RKC. So I got it before we switched over. So
got it. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Now, what inspired you to do the Iron Maiden?
You know what? It was really just seeing the Iron Maiden at the certification, the first one that I went to, and a friend of mine actually attempted it. We didn't know what it was. And, they got called up at the, hey, anyone want to do this challenge? And she was really strong and could already do the press. So she was like, we kind of egged her on. We're like, go up there. You're really strong. You can do this. And so she went and attempted the press, but didn't do the others, which wasn't a surprise. It wasn't something that she had trained for.
Right.
But it just really inspired me to be like, you know what? No one's really done that. At that time, it was only that one person that no one, I hope at some point someone knows who that is, but I don't know the name of the person that was the first person. And so it was like, wow, that would be really cool to be either the one of the first, in those early years. So it just really kind of drove me. I've always been really goal driven, and I was loving everything about kettlebells and strength. And so it was just kind of put on my radar, and it's something that I decided to do. It took quite a while, but it was really cool.
Awesome. Now, how long did it take you to train for the Iron Maiden?
I would say officially off and on, it was probably about 3 years.
Okay.
I did not, even when I went to my first kettlebell cert, I didn't even have a pull-up. I had never been able to do one, and actually got my first pull-up by accident. So I was showing someone that I could not. They were like, oh, you have to be able to do a pull-up. And I'm like, no, really, watch. And I was able to. So it was actually by accident. And then that inspired me even more, because I was like, okay, if I have this, then I can do this. So it just kind of drove me to really push for it. But that was the last thing and the hardest thing, because I had just gotten my first body weight pull up and I needed to then, of course, like, you know, add 53 pounds mm-hmm. to my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's talk about that. Cause I mean, the listeners know that I've always naturally just by my genetics been able to do pull ups. But when I added weight to my pull ups, that's when I was like, oh shit, I really have to like train this. What mental game do you kind of have to change when you start adding heavy load to your training?
Well, it's funny that you say what mental thing, right? Yeah. Because it is truly a mental thing. I think for women for so long, we've always been told that it's something that we couldn't do, right? Or that if we lifted weights, it was going to make us bulky. So why would right. we want to add more weight to a skill that's already like really one of the most challenging skills for women? Mm-hmm. So I think the mental thing is really key. You have to kind of get your mind right, and it has to be something that you really want. And as you know, I mean, one of the biggest things with pull-ups is having the right percentage of muscle mass and body mm-hmm. fat, right? Mm-hmm. Because if your body fat's too high, it's just going to make it so much more challenging. And you have to, if you think about this when you're training your clients or your students, is you want to give them something that makes them feel successful. So you can't have them go to a skill that one terrifies them and two, they're so far away from and just keep pushing it. So it's getting their mind right and understanding, you know, what it is that they can accomplish, but then also getting all the other things in intact. Because for me, if my body fat was too high, then I couldn't do my pull-ups, but my press was really easy. Right. And if I switched it and I got light enough for the pull-up, then my press was really hard. So it's finding that ideal balance.
Yeah. Between
them so that you can get all three at the same time.
Yeah. I think that was probably the most challenging part with training was just the balance of staying on that like peak level for all three lifts. Like if I increased my pull up, then my press would go down. Or if I increased my pistol, my press would go down. Or one of the two, like there was like this weird balance between the two. What advice do you have for training those three all at once?
I would say the biggest recommendation is don't jump in too fast. Like mm-hmm. I've had people call me because that's something that I train a lot of people for.
Right.
And if you're really far away from all three of them, you're narrowing your focus too soon, right? Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to bring up that strength level, like overall strong, like get all of those things to a higher level and then you can specialize. I wouldn't mm-hmm. go to narrow your focus too soon, or one, you're going to get most people just get bored with it. They're like, okay, I'm going to move on to something else. This is taking so long. And, I think that's really it. It's bringing up your baseline of strength and then being able to narrow your focus so that you don't get burnout or get injured. If you're trying to push too hard, too often, too heavy, it's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how did you first get involved with Strong First? What was like your first character? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, originally it was, I was part of the RKC. So that mm-hmm. was my first introduction to it before we had the split. But my introduction was through a trainer that I had coaching me in DC. I had, and I hate to say this as repeating for people that have listened to other podcasts, but what had happened is my ex-husband was military at the time. So my husband at the time, mm-hmm. we had to move from San Diego to DC. And for me, I was miserable. I was just like, this is crazy. I've come from beautiful, sunny San Diego. Right. And now I'm in DC and I'm in the cold. It's snowing. I had never been in the snow.
Oh, no.
And I had a toddler. And so I'm living in a residence inn for 5 weeks with a toddler. And I was like, okay, I have to find something to do. So I started going to the Gold's Gym there. And at that point, I met this trainer. And I just wanted something different. You know, I had been training for years, but it was just that time, like you have a baby and you just want someone else to tell you what to do for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what I did. So I started training with him and it was kettlebells, which was something that I'd never done before. And he was just like, hey, you picked this up really quick. Like, why don't you go to this certification with me? So I had no idea what I was getting myself in for. And it was amazing,
right.
But I didn't know what I was going to. I didn't know who Papa was. Like I had been this stay-at-home mom for, you know, a couple years. And it was like, actually the trip to my certification was my first time leaving my daughter after she was born.
Okay.
So it was like my first mom trip and I was going to,
right.
to get certified.
Oh, that's too cool. I love it.
Yeah. So it was interesting, but it like, I kind of joke when I tell people the story, it was like the heavens opened. It was like, oh, I'm home. This is like where I'm supposed to be. Like I found my people and yeah. I never looked back after that.
Cool. How has fitness and training anchored you through like some difficult, challenging parts in life? You shared that story of like, that was a big transition and that's how you found fitness. How has fitness or kept you anchored through other parts of or times in life that have been challenging for you?
You know what? Fitness has pretty much, I've been involved in fitness pretty much my whole life. Like okay. That was my transition kind of back into fitness after I had my daughter with the kettlebell part. But really, it's pretty much been my whole life. So anytime that I'm down, like fitness is my thing.
Yeah.
And I can tell you like working through the hardest time. And if I'm being completely honest, I've been going through one of the hardest times right now. And we can get into some of that. It's just a little bit different of a story.
Yeah.
And I think really my strength is what's getting me through right now. Mm-hmm. And if without that, I would probably just not want to get out of bed. I mean, it's it's kind of crazy. But that's just what keeps me going. And if I'm down about things, it also like last year my dad had quadruple bypass, and during that time, I had to get my mind right and I had to kind of make sure that I got my fitness in so that I wasn't like completely out of whack while I was dealing with all the emotions from that as well. So I think it can be a really great thing for just all different aspects of life. As long as you kind of have your mind right and you're able to move and just, even if you're not doing your normal routine, but just some sort of movement. So if you're walking more or you're stretching, you're just some sort of movement that's going to keep you, keep your headspace clear. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I think of it.
Yeah. And how's your dad doing now?
He's doing good. He's recovering, or he was doing really well from that. Then they found out that he had kidney cancer. And so earlier this year, he had a kidney removed. So now he's kind of in the recovery process again. But he's doing good. He's in the gym. He's walking on the treadmill.
Nice. I love it.
He's doing his thing. So it's I'm happy to see him back doing that stuff.
Good. And I have always found, and maybe you can relate too, of just like when other people, especially family members whose health isn't or is challenged with some type of crisis like that, I always am like, okay, I really have to up my game because I need to give that energy to them, like that healing energy almost. It may sound a little woo-woo-y, but just like sending that positive energy out of like, I'm taking care of myself so they can know that I'm here for them and feel that support almost. Do you have anything to add off of that of just like making sure you're staying grounded so you have the strength, not just for yourself, but for like other people within your family when going through a crisis?
Yeah, I think it's huge. And mine laugh. They're like, okay, you're going to talk to us about positive mindset. And and I do. I talk about positive mindset and visualization and, you know, talking about visualizing what you want. And that's even healing and getting yourself healthy again. Like if you visualize that process, it's going to, you have to believe it, right? Like you have to believe that what you want is possible or it's not possible. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, let's talk positive. Let's visualize what you want. Let's visualize healing in all these aspects. And then times when I get down and, you know, if I'm going through something, then I have to remind myself, I'm like, okay, you're a coach and you tell people this all the time. Like you now have to tell yourself, like, get yourself out of bed, get through whatever's going on and, you know, and visualize your own process and your own healing and your own strength gains and things like that that you want. So I teach a lot about mindset and visualization.
Yeah. What advice do you have for people who are in the fitness industry and go through like their own health crisis? And because I know I've had times where I'm like, my health right now needs me to rest and I'm bedridden. And I can't get to my job. And I know there's a couple other people who listen to the show whose health isn't in like the most healthiest place. What advice do you have for them because their job is fitness and their body and movement when they can't actually do their job? What advice do you have for them when they're at that state in life?
You know what? It's good that you asked that because that's kind of like where I'm at. So 2.5 years ago, I went through a hysterectomy. And if I'm being completely honest, I think that I felt at times that people, when they were struggling with certain things, and this is a new learning place for me, is I thought it's just as easy as calories in, calories out. They're just being lazy, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I went through this and realized what a big part hormones play on our body or the lack of, right? Because now my body, the doctors are not wanting to give me hormones because of this genetic mutation I have that puts me at high risk for cancer. So I was like, I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to do the surgery and I'm going to show women that the sky's the limit. Like everything is, you can do anything.
Right.
And then what I realizing is at the 1 year mark, everything started changing for me. So I started having a lot of joint pain and no energy and all the things that were keeping me from doing my job to the level that I felt that I needed to be able to do it. You know, I feel like, and I'm sure you probably feel this way as a coach, there's probably expectations that we think people have, but they're probably a little bit more our own expectations of ourselves. So we put them on ourselves.
Yep.
And so I felt like I'm out there and I have to look a certain way or be a certain way, do a certain thing that I can't necessarily do right now. I mean, for months I was getting to the point where I could hardly stand up. Like it hurt to straighten my legs out and it hurt to move. And I'm like, I need to be able to do pistols and I need to be able to do all these things for my job. So what I had to do, if I'm being completely honest, is I had to step back and be like, you know what? This is your time. You're going to still give the energy that you have to your students. So I'm still coaching and I'm still designing and doing a lot of programs and I still teach my workshops, but I had to take a step back and be like, you know what? Your health is just as important as all the people that you're trying to mentor and coach. Mm-hmm. So I'm still going through that a little bit and I'm moving to the best that I can. Most days are getting better, but I'm seeing a lot of different doctors right now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find the right doctor that's going to help me get back to the normal me because right now I'm not there. And so that's been the hardest part because in my mind, I'm like, someone's going to question your abilities if you can't do X, Y, and Z that you've always been able to do. If that makes sense.
No, and this is such a good point and a topic that to bring up because I've posted a question, I think a couple of weeks ago on Instagram of like, should a coach be able to do a certain movement to coach it? And it was fascinating some of the responses that I got of like, some people are like, yes. And some people are like, no, you don't necessarily need to be able to do it. I think a good coach is one that's knowledgeable enough to know how to get their clients to a certain place that knows the movement inside and out. So I think that's a really good point that you bring up because I know even for me, sometimes I put so much pressure on myself. Like I got to be able to do all things, everything.
Right.
For all my clients, right? And physically, that's impossible. Like, there's a couple clients that have different goals, and I'm just like, no, I can't do all of these things.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people feel that way. And I was actually one of them. I mean, I would teach certification, especially when I started teaching the body weight, because when it was smaller, you know, there weren't a lot of assistants and other people there working with me. So it was me teaching and doing the demos of every single thing that needed to be done. And so I kind of got in that habit. Mm-hmm. And then once I went through the surgery and started having these issues, I started realizing that I really needed to lean on these people that were amazing that could come in and do the demos while I could still coach it. So I think that it, you know, there's definitely a part that you want to be able to show that you can do things,
right.
Or at least that you have, right? Like, yes, I've done the Iron Maiden. Could I do the Iron Maiden right now? No, absolutely not. I mean, that was a goal. I checked that off, you know, years ago, back in 2012. But there's still that pressure in the industry to be able to do a certain thing, right? Especially as we age. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm not at the age that I should be dealing with the things that I'm dealing with, but it was an elective surgery because of the high percentage rate of cancer that I could have. Mm. And I decided that, you know what, I need to opt and do this and be, you know, to be here for my daughter. Are there times that I regret it? Absolutely. I'm like, gosh, I wish I could go back now because of what I've been experiencing. But the great thing is, as a student of strength, I'm learning so many things right now about me and my body and hormones and things that's just going to give me a whole nother level of coaching for other people when they go through that and an understanding. So it's not me just looking at people and being like, what do you mean you can't do that strong thing? Like, why are you just being lazy? You know? Mm-hmm. And I never said that, but that was in my mind sometimes. I think I just got into this level of like, everyone should be able to do X, Y, and Z. You just have to, one, make it a priority, two, train smart, which those things are important. But I think there are things within our bodies as females dealing with hormones that can affect things in ways that you don't realize.
Right.
And when you're, you know, when they are loaded on you, you have to like figure out that. And that's what I'm doing right now, is just figuring out what that is.
Well, and this is what we need too. And I think my next question goes into, do you have any advice of like training heavy for women within their, incongruent with their cycle, their menstrual cycle per month?
I personally, I guess I don't know that I'm the perfect person to ask that, to be honest. The reason I say that is my cycle was always messed up, like for years and years. Like I just really didn't have much of a cycle. I don't know if it was because of body composition or whatever. And, so I didn't even have to use birth control. Like I was on birth control for 6 years before I got, before I had my daughter. And then after that, I was using, birth control. So I was always on birth control. And I used IUD. So I never had any changes in my strength that I noticed, right?
Got it. Okay.
And I used that until I had my hysterectomy. So I just don't know that I'm the best person to really to answer that question accurately.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What advice do you have for women, not just for like the hormonal stuff, but what advice do you have for women in the fitness industry? I think it's changing with the more women being involved with the fitness industry, but it has been more of a male dominant industry. I remember when I first started training, the place I was at, I was like one of the 20 trainers, one female out of the 20 trainers that was at the facility, and it was all, the rest of it was dudes. And I felt like I like lived in a locker with guys.
I would say is just, you know, keep learning and keep putting yourself out there. It is still very much a male dominated industry. Yeah. I mean, even the gym that I just started going to, I signed up for a gym recently, even though I have a full blown gym in my garage. I just felt when I was kind of like working on getting me back where I wanted, I just wanted to go somewhere else where there were other people, but like nobody knew who I was. Like nobody was going to come up and ask me questions. I wasn't coaching anyone. I could just focus on me for a while.
Yeah.
So I go to this new gym and there's one female trainer and probably 10 dudes. And they actually even came up to me recently and they were like, hey, we need more female trainers here. Like, would you be interested? And I was like, no, I'm not. I just want to do me right now. And I'm not interested in that. I mean, plus it would just take up time that I'm not willing to.
Right.
So I would say females, like you have to just put yourself out there. Not just on social media, but in person, like don't be afraid to get in the area where the guys are at and take your ladies over there and just, you know, really show them that strength is for everyone. Mm-hmm. And, we're not going to get bulky, right? Like how long have we been hearing that? Like that just needs to go away. I'm surprised it hasn't gone away yet, but it drives me crazy to be like, I just want to be lean, right? I just want to be toned and lean. I want longer, leaner muscles.
I usually get like if female or clients, I just grab their purse and weigh it. And let mm-hmm. them see, like, this is how much you're carrying every day. You can lift some heavy shit.
Yeah, I like to trick them sometimes. Like, I'll have ladies just deadlift. Like, I won't tell them how much on the bar.
Right.
And they'll lift it and they'll be like, oh my gosh, how much was that? And I was like, well, it's more than your body weight. So to tell me that you can't lift this kettlebell or that. I mean, not that strength has to be everyone, like, really strong. Like, what we want to do for Iron Maiden. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that has to be everyone's goal. But we all need some sort of strength training, mm-hmm. like for life, just mm-hmm. to have longevity. And, you know, we don't want to be worrying about bones and density and stuff like that. So I think everyone needs it. It's just what level, you know, and what are their goals?
Yeah.
So,
my question goes back to what you were saying earlier about the workshops and how it's been a beautiful transition for you as a coach of seeing how other people can demo some of the moves for you through your workshops. How has that opened up you as a coach and really connecting to the Strong First community and kind of leaning on other people for their strength as you're going through this process?
You know what? The community itself has always been great. So I've mm-hmm. always felt really comfortable with that. Having other people, I just love mentoring other people and I love like getting other people out there so that, you know, they're, because if you're just kind of standing in the background, if you're not utilizing people, I guess you're just doing an injustice for yourself and mm-hmm. for them. So I love that we can all share in this space. mm-hmm. and everybody can grow, and it doesn't, it's not my show, right? It doesn't have to be about me. It, the only reason it was for a little while is because it was just smaller groups, and so we didn't need the other people. So I love having larger groups, having more and more people where I can basically help put other people's talents out there. And nice. Then for me, it's just, I, you know, I get to cue and I get to kind of, you know, I don't know if it's kind of like the Vanna, like what they're doing, which used to be really hard, you know, because it was like, I need a demo that and show that I can still do this, but that's not what it's about anymore. So as long as it's, you know, I'm able to get my point across and cue and demo a few things, like I don't have to demo everything. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a beautiful transition too. So, it's exciting. Back to the females topic with being in a male dominant industry, what advice do you have about them speaking up for themselves? Then this could be not just for the fitness industry, but just in life in general, just how sometimes men in our society silence us a little bit.
Well, I feel like you definitely shouldn't be afraid, right? We shouldn't be silenced. But I think there's also a way to go about it. I think there's been this big shift. And I'm probably going to get some hate here from this, but there's been this big shift of we're either silenced or we've gone so far the other way that yes. we are absolutely like everything. We're offended by everything. Like I want to make a shirt that says I'm offended that you're offended because it seriously, and it drives me crazy. Not everyone is trying to be offend us, right? Not everyone is trying to mansplain us. Some of that happens. Like I just had it this week and it was such a nice thing that this guy walks up to me. I could tell in the mirror, right? I'm doing some high pulls at the gym and I see this guy kind of behind me and I'm like, okay, he wants to tell me something. I can see it. Like it was just this vibe that I was getting.
Feel it coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he walks over and he explained that he's like, hey, he was really nice about it. He wasn't like, hey, you're doing that wrong. He was just like, hey, would you take a tip from me on your kettlebell swing? And I was like, sure. You know, so I let him tell me what he wants to tell me. He was really nice about it. Basically wanted to tell me that I should be squatting more for my swing, which is not necessarily what, you know, how we do the swing.
Right.
But, and I wasn't even doing swings. So what I did is I let him finish talking. He told me that this is how he was taught when he was playing pro football and wanted to give me advice. So of course I take it. I could have been nasty to him, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people are getting now. That's where I was saying is like there's been this shift of every man is trying to like keep us down when I don't necessarily think that that's the case. So I'm sorry in advance for all of those people that are going to hate me for saying that.
No, this is so good because you're so accurate. And I think I've had a couple conversations of like how we've gone way too far to the other side as women and we are now silencing the men. Almost like I'm all about women and or empowering women, but at the same time, let's us like remember, like we're all human beings. We can't, right. We can't do like silence one half to give the other a voice.
I think that we all should have our voice. We should all, it's about being equal and being in a space where we can share and everyone can grow. And so, and that's exactly what I tried to do with him. He wanted to tell me about being a pro football player and how he learned. And then I said, well, can I give you a piece of feedback? And he said, absolutely. And I said, well, I appreciate what you're saying. However, I'm not actually doing a kettlebell swing. I'm doing what's called a high pull. Have you ever heard of that? And he said that he hadn't. And I said, well, it's actually one of the progressions that we teach at the kettlebell certification that I am a part of. And it is a transition into snatching. But the reason I'm doing it here today like this is that the bells at this gym are very rough. And if I wanted to proceed all the way to snatching, I would be ripping my hands today. And so he was just like, wow, that's really cool. I guess I can learn something new every day as well. And it was just this really good exchange. It wasn't me being like, why are you talking to me that way? Like, you don't know what you're talking about. It was just a nice conversation between two people. We exchanged names and then he went back to doing his barbell lifting with his guys and I went back to doing my high pulls. So I think that there can be a way to stand up for yourself and respectfully have a conversation without feeling like every man is out to get you, because I just think that's where I think it's gone a little too far.
Yeah. And that's something I'm learning right now. So I love your story that you just gave because you honored his voice, and in doing that, he honored your voice and just respecting him as a human being, like he did the same to you. So that's a great story to kind of go off of and just keep in my back pocket for myself.
Yeah, I think it's just how we approach people. And I just think we just need more kindness, and it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be an offense. You know, you don't have to be offended by everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's not offensive. And this is the way I take it. But I think there's too much of that nowadays, and everyone's being offended by everything. So I'm going to start I'm going to start that series. Actually, I'm probably saying it here and someone will already make it really quick. Because I'm like, look, my other shirt would be offendedness is making America weak, right? Oh. Everybody's getting offended by everything, and it's just messing with all of us.
Yeah. Preach it. Anything else about that topic?
No, not really. No, I mean, that's it. I just need to finally get the shirts out, because it's just, I just get annoyed by everyone being offended, and I think it's just gone too far. It's like, let's just be kind and love each other and share kindness in the world.
Yeah. All right. What else do I have for you? Business. Scariest thing about business that you have done.
Oh gosh. Scariest thing in business. I would say probably opening my gym. At the time that I did, I'd been home for a couple years with my daughter, and I decided that it was time to open a gym. Actually, I was supposed to open a gym with a gentleman who got me to go to the first certification.
Oh, okay.
And then the military moved us, and I was like, okay, this is it. This is time. Let's make this leap. Yeah. And I made the leap while my husband at the time was deployed, and he came back and he was like, what did you do? What is this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this is it. I'm taking the leap. I'm starting this business and following my passion. And so that was probably the scariest thing would be to, when I started that. And then of course, again, another scary time was closing it. I closed it when I got divorced and took everything online and workshops and traveling. So two kind of scary times.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about the leap? Because I know a lot of people in the fitness industry, I think, are at that place of like taking that leap of faith within themselves. And how does that relate to taking a leap, like doing a certification and the correlations of like physically training, but also training like business stuff?
Gosh. Well, first thing is make sure you, if you're in another job, like, while you have that income, start doing all your certifications, right? Mm-hmm. Do all of that stuff first. That way you're not in this bind of, now I have, you know, all these extra bills from opening a business and I still want to get these certifications. And then you have this stress of trying to manage all of that. Because the other thing is, every time you leave for a certification, you're going to have to close your business, which is going, unless you have really great people working for you, which that takes time, that's just another stress on you. So don't jump completely into opening a business. I would say if you're not in, or you're just getting started in the fitness industry, get your certifications and then start a little bit of side work before you actually open a gym, because that's the biggest stress. There's so much that goes into it. And if you're not a business person, like I ended up hating the business side of the gym and I loved coaching. So that was the hard part for me, is I didn't want to do both, but I kind of had to do both after I made the leap. So I made sure that I had enough people that were coming to my garage to train with me, just neighbors, that I could at least cover my rent before I made the leap, because I had to do a small build out. I took out 2 credit cards to kind of get the space ready. And then I was like, okay, this is it. But I was married at the time and I didn't need the income, right? We had his income, so I could take this leap, and I didn't take a paycheck for 2 years. I paid off what I built the business with. So if I was single, I would probably find a space within someone else's gym and just rent a space, something on a lower scale until I built up my name and my clientele before I took the big leap of like trying to open my own space. And then make sure that you have a business plan and you know and understand business. Like, is that what you want to be doing with your time? Or do you truly just want to be coaching people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that what you brought up is a really good point, because I think with business, a lot of people think, oh, I'll just be able to coach more and have more freedom of how you want to coach, where now you have like a lot more responsibilities that's not coaching.
Yeah, you got to make sure that the floors are clean and the bathrooms are clean and the trash is taken out and that people are paying their bills on time. And if you're not a salesperson and you're not, you know, into like really hunting down money for that type of thing, like you have to be on your game. Like you have to know. And then you also have to know the legal stuff. I can tell you stories of people that I had hired and I had them as contractors, but legally the way that it was written up, like some of the stuff would have put them into the employee category and some of the items that they were doing could have put them into the contractor. And then when you have a disgruntled employee and they go to the city and try to get unemployment, but they're a contractor and there's that gray area.
Oh, interesting.
They wanted all back taxes for years of, they thought because I told them to like, kind of like clock in, but not really clock in. I just had them write their time down on a, like a time card so that I could pay them for their contract work. That was something that was very small that put them into that category of employee. And then a couple other things. Anyways, I fought it and I ended up winning, but it would have like bankrupted me if the other person had won. So you have to know that you have all the legal side like squared away and you have people that you can trust and you're not falling into these like crazy business things that just will take you out of your passion, which is really the coaching.
Now you kind of transitioned from the gym to online. How has being on like social media kind of changed the business side of things?
Social media is, I think it's, I mean, it's good for it, right? Like once you build your name, it makes things easier as far as being online. But I don't think that people should jump to online too quickly. I think if they try to, like, I think that's the route everybody's wanting to take because it looks easy, right? They see people posting like, oh, hey, I'm at the beach. Look where I'm working. Yeah, there's some cool sides to it because you can coach from anywhere. But I think, and I say this to any interviewer in any podcast when this question is asked, is I think people are doing themselves an injustice if they go straight to online. You need to see people in person. You need to see people move. You need to have those interactions and see different body types and understanding of the, just how the body moves before you just go to be like, hey, I'm going to be an online programmer. Like I'm going to design programs. I'm going to coach these people when you're not there to walk around them and really understand what's going on with their body. So I think everyone needs that time before they transition. Then social media is great. Like you grow your name, you put yourself out there, you share tips, you find your niche, right? Like what is it that you're good at? And you build your tribe within that. So that's kind of like where I feel like now that it's been 20 years of training, like I'm in that groove where it's good and easier for me to do this programming online now because the people that come to me for a specific reason.
Right.
I'm not getting people contacting me. They're like, hey, get me ready for a bikini competition. Because that's not my thing, right?
Like,
and if they did, I would refer them out. I'd be like, hey, you know what? Let me hook you up with a friend of mine. Because you can't, if you want to be good in this industry, and this is my opinion, and someone may feel different, I feel like you have to find your path, right? You cannot be everything to everyone. If you're trying to be everything to everyone, you're going to do yourself and them an injustice. So it's finding what you really love and the people that just, that you work well with.
How has social media affected you, even though it's like part of your business? I know there's times where I'm like, I need to check out. How have you balanced the social media and kind of like the mind game that it has on us sometimes with business?
You know what? It can be challenging. And I would say during this time, like I was talking about earlier, probably being one of the harder times for me, I've had to check out. So I don't know how much you follow my stuff, but it has been limited lately. And around the holidays, I posted like I'm checking out for a while. I'm not going to be online every day for a couple of reasons. I cannot stand fake. I can't. I'm too blunt about it. I just can't stand fake. So if I'm not feeling it, like if I'm not feeling like I want to get up and do a video today and share a tip or whatever, if I'm just not right in the, if that's not my mental space right now, I'm just not going to do it. Like has my following like leveled out a little bit? Yeah, it's stalled out a little bit because I've taken some time for me, but I'm absolutely okay with that because I can't be fake and I'm not going to put myself out there as something that I'm not right now. So when I feel like posting now, I'll post something, but I'm not in that mousetrap of like, oh my gosh, I have to post something every day or I'm going to lose my following.
Yeah. And with there's, I mean, we have, social media is such a great tool, but now at least something that I struggle with like is the number games of like followers. What advice do you have about like the business side of it, of like still creating the followers and being loyal to your followers, but like not making it about followers? If that's,
yeah, you know what I mean? It is. It's, yeah, you have to, one, it's such a, it's a bad place when you get into the comparison trap, right? Yeah. And it is a trap. It's like, oh, well, this person has this many followers. Well, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Right? We don't know. Like, we don't know what they're doing, and we shouldn't care what they're doing, really. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about finding your space and your voice and trying not to compare. So I would say when I'm in that, if I get into that weird mental space, mm-hmm. I don't look at it. Like, don't look at your own. Like, I don't know if you have a business page or not. It's a little bit different when you look at the analytics of your business page. Mm. It can really mess with you. If you're like, oh, I have this many followers. And then you look at some analytics and it's like, oh, I've lost followers. And then I've gained followers. And now it's this up and down. And it's like, well, why would they leave? Like, why, what did I do? And it can't be about that, right? Right. Like, who yeah. knows? Like, what? You don't know from day to day what people are looking at or not looking at. And it's one of those things where, I mean, I had it happen this week. It was really kind of odd. It was around the time when I posted about the gentleman telling me that he wanted yeah. to give me tips and kettlebells. Well, everybody was like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. So there's all these great comments. And then all of a sudden this guy comes in and he totally starts attacking me on Facebook. And he's just like, and I knew his name and I knew that he, who I had met him through. And I, it was really odd. I was like, I don't know what I did to upset you, but what are your, where he's us. He just, anyways, it doesn't really matter what he said, but he kind of like attacked me. And I found out that, you know what? It really had nothing to do with me. Mm. He's someone who has a drinking problem, mm-hmm. probably was on a bender and had a moment that he wanted to like freak out on me because mm-hmm. I just happened to be what popped up. Right. So it's things that we can't take personal because we don't know what else is going on out there. Mm-hmm. So if we wanted to take every little thing that's said to us, it'll just put you in it. Like I said, it'll take you back to where you just don't want to get out of bed and you'll be like, what's wrong with all these crazy people? You know? So I would say if you're in that space, like don't read comments, don't look mm-hmm. at how many followers, don't look if they're growing or just don't even look at the analytics, post what you want to post. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not wanting to post other things, then I'll post, I don't know, like I posted at the beach, post my feet. Yeah. I mean, something different, which I mean, that's just a whole nother thing that kind of gets comical. So then that brings on a whole different types of comments and messages. Right. But anyways, it's just funny. So I just try not to compare mm-hmm. because we're all in a different space and there's enough out there for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest mind shift in just to remember of just like, if we really focus on the mission of us improving other people's health, then that stuff doesn't matter. At least that helps me of just like not getting into that comparison trap. If like really just focusing on like, what am I passionate about and why I got into this field was to help other people versus getting the followers, which is such a mind trap sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I think it has its good points and its bad points, and the bad points are the comparison stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Because everyone wants to put just their show reel out, right? And that's why I said, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to be on there, or I'm going to limit my time because I just can't be fake about it. But what it is good for is if you are starting a business, it's quicker to grow your following. Like mm-hmm. for me, when I opened my gym, it was needing to get known in my area. Mm-hmm. So that my gym would grow, and social media wasn't really happening yet. I mean, I think I started Facebook in 2008 and I started my business in that year as well. So It wasn't like Facebook was what got me grew my business. Right. It was, what was I doing in my area to become known for kettlebells? Mm-hmm. So it's just a different world. I think some people can use it now and in a really good way and grow their business a lot quicker.
Cool. Now, why kettlebells over any other type of fitness that you've done? I mean, you've been very active your whole life, but why kettlebells?
You know what? I still use all the other modalities as well, especially in the last couple years because I was running the bodyweight division. I kind of took that shift and really went bodyweight strength. But I was a gymnast as a kid.
Okay.
And I did track and cheerleading. And my first coaching job was in high school. I coached little kids gymnastics. So I've always been in some sort of like helping coaching type of thing. But it was the kettlebell that really changed my way of thinking and actually changed my body the quickest after I had my daughter. So I was in the gym 14 hours a week, just like an hour on the treadmill, an hour doing, you know, whatever else. And when I learned the kettlebells, it took my training to 3 hours a week. And I just haven't looked back from that. It was the philosophies that we use within the organization and the principles that we use that just changed the way that I train myself and then I train everyone else.
Cool. Love it. Love it. What's your favorite exercise?
I would say if we're talking loaded exercise, one of my favorites would probably be single leg deadlift or some variation of that because I think there's so much carryover with that. But if it's body weight, it's the one arm push-up for sure because same thing.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Well, and the pull-up. So I know that's like three, but it's kind of like where I'm at right now. And I'm actually doing a workshop in a couple weeks. And that was the question they asked me. They're like, okay, we want you to cover like the two. I think we were started out as three, but we've knocked it down to two because of the space that we have, the two exercises that every female should have in their program. And I'm talking about the one arm push-up and the single leg deadlift.
Can you explain more why specifically women should have those then?
Well, it's actually not just women. It's just this happens to be a women's workshop. So that's kind of the spin we're putting on it, but it really is like anyone. I personally, in my personal opinion is when you're working single side exercises, you're going to fix and well, first you're going to find asymmetries that you have in your body and you're going to be able to find them quicker and you're going to be able to fix them quicker. So you're going to be able to level out those strengths. Now, no one's going to be 100% symmetrical all the time, but it is something that will help you. Both of those drills require balance. You want to build stability in the joints that you're working, but they're also both full body. Mm-hmm. Well, one arm push up more full body than the deadlift, but they're still both pushing and pulling. Mm-hmm. And then you're of course on the deadlift, you're hinging, but you're going to get balance. You're going to get strength. And I honestly, having those in my programs, I think have made a world of difference and kept me able to do all my other skills without really training them because of the tension required to really build those two skills.
Right. Right. Awesome. Sweet. What about your favorite kettlebell exercise?
Kettlebell exercise, I would probably, gosh, that kind of changes time, just kind of what mode I'm in. I really like get-ups, heavy get-ups. I like snatching, swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that I have a favorite. I just, you know, I really like pressing too. So see that I'm kind of all over the place. But I can tell you the body weight stuff has kept all those skills at a high level. So I don't have to train the kettlebell skills that often to still be able to do fairly high. Now, not high like Iron Maiden high, but like at least testing level.
Yeah. So one thing I talk about a little bit with my clients is like if they've kind of life has happened, then they haven't been able to train as much and they're like, I'm back at ground zero. And I'm like, no. Like we've laid down this foundation and it sounds like that's what you're talking about. Like you've laid down this foundation of strength. Can you talk a little bit more of just like how you've laid down certain layers of foundations within your strength to kind of like keep you at a certain point when you go through some of these life challenges, either it be physical or just mental?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things that you can do. One is getting to a certain level before, let's say I wanted to be to a certain level before I had my surgery, knowing that I could get back there quicker.
Right.
So that was one thing. So if you have time to plan, then you can, you know, make sure that you get to a certain level. But also working through in your program, always having some sort of push, pull, hinge, squat, loaded carry, right? Of some sort. So that you're working all of those things, not being so focused on pressing and then forgetting about pulling or so focused on squatting, but not hinging. So I think if you're well-rounded in your training and you're training smart, then you're going to increase all those levels to kind of like that new baseline. Mm-hmm. And then also I tell people all the time is having baseline. So not just this baseline of strength, but what are your baseline tests that you can just do on a daily basis to know where you're at from day to day so that you keep training smart, if that makes sense. So, for example, if I'm going to train something like a pistol or a squat, mm-hmm. I have a baseline where I test my ankle mobility because I know that my ankle mobility has to be at a certain number of the way that I do this test for me to go right into my training. So those baselines give you a red light or a green light on a day-to-day basis in your training so that you can proceed or take a step back so that you stay safe and injury-free. Mm-hmm. So there's that. What was the other question you asked me about that? I'm sorry, just, I kind of went off on a tangent.
No, this is great. More of also just like the mental aspect of like how it like sets your, like what you're saying of creating a new baseline physically, how does that help you also mentally with some of the life challenges?
Mentally, well, there's a couple different ways. So let's use the mental as in a way to kind of keep some of your strength. So this is going to, let's go back to your word earlier. It's kind of maybe a little woo-woo for people.
Yeah.
Is actually visualizing yourself training when you can't train. Mm. So if you're visualizing the reps, you're visualizing the tension, you're, you know, so when I had my hysterectomy, the lady was like, I don't want you to lift anything more than 10 pounds for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, I'm like, really? Like I can deadlift almost 2 times my body weight and you don't want me to lift 10 pounds. And she's like, look, your fascia is no different than anyone else's. You have to heal. You have to let, right. Like we did this robotic. So I had 4 incisions in my stomach.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, all that has to heal. Like, and it's so true. I was just kind of being stubborn, like really 10 pounds. But what I did during that 6 weeks, I did a lot of walking. I did a lot of visualizing of my training.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of that 6 weeks, I was still able to press what I pressed before the surgery. And I hadn't lifted more than 10 pounds in 6 weeks. So there actually have been some studies. I don't even remember where I heard about these or I would reference it. But there was a study about visualizing training for an injury and how it keeps the people, like they're not going to lose that much strength mm-hmm. if they truly visualize the training process. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I do now. I wish I remembered that. Where it was at so I could actually reference that for you.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's key. Like the mind is so powerful.
Yeah.
And if you have to be positive. And so even at the, actually, here's a funny thing. At the certs now, before people test with me, I have them all lay down in crocodile breathing.
Uh-huh.
And I have them actually visualize everything that they learn. So where do you put your feet? Where do you put, let's say they're, if they're testing like a one-arm push-up, I have them visualize what that looks like before they come over and test with me. Like, I want you to see it successful before you come make it successful.
Yeah.
So I just kind of try to get the mind in the right space.
I love
it.
It
also helps if you're doing that breathing first, it helps kind of calm people, which
right.
you know, because you asked me about that before we started. So if they breathe, they calm, they see it, and then they uh-huh. come and perform it.
Yeah, that's great. How does visualization help with obtaining a new goal? So say like you, I guess my question is, did you use like any visualization when you're training for the Iron Maiden?
I did. And actually that was probably where I really got into it.
Because yeah.
I had someone, I was at this kind of sticking point and this girl asked me, she's like, well, do you do any visualization? And I was like, well, what do you mean? You know? And so
right.
that's really where I started practicing it. And I wrote an article not too long ago about the Iron Maiden. And I think this part actually got taken out because again, kind of woo-woo, right? Like it sounds a little weird,
mm-hmm.
but when I visualize it, I would lay in bed at night and I would close my eyes and I would visualize every part of the Iron Maiden. Like I'm there, there's the crowd, like everyone is there.
Yeah.
And I would visualize like, especially my struggling points, right? I had the pistol forever and then I maintained it. And then I got the press and maintained that. And then I had to work for a long time on the pull-up. But I would lay in bed and I would close my eyes and I would visualize like, where are my hands going? Like, how far are they? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my lats, my body? And I would visualize pulling over the bar and like getting it to that spot on my neck and then hearing everyone yell. Now, the weird part that I think is a little woo-woo is when I did the Iron Maiden, there were people right in front of me, like probably as close as like maybe a little bit further than where my screen's at right now, but they were right there. But I saw nothing but black. It was like I was in this black hole
uh-huh.
and I was just doing what I came to do that day. Like I knew it was happening that day. And actually no one even knew I was going to do it. I showed up to that workshop and I asked Pavel, I was like, hey, think maybe I could do the Iron Maiden this weekend? He's like, I think we can make time for that.
Nice.
So it was just like, I had visualized it and I saw it. And the weird part is I'm like, did I see that black hole? Because I always closed my eyes and I was doing it at night before I went to sleep and it was dark. I don't know. I mean, that's the weird part.
Yeah.
But that's how it was that day. Like, I didn't see anybody in front of me. It was just like, I'm here to do this. And
yeah, I remember reading parts of that article now that you mentioned that. And my question goes to, is that also part from your background of from athletics too?
The visualization?
Yeah. Like, I guess from the question stems more from like my own personal background from athletics. Cause I know there would be times where I would play basketball and I couldn't hear the crowd. Like, I would just be so much in the zone. Does that, I didn't really visualize that. I was just like in the game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, maybe, because even back then, if I look back to like gymnastics or cheerleading, I just always had something that I saw or I would say. And so for example, let's say before I was going to do a tumbling pass, I would always stand there, even if I was at home practicing or if I was on the mat, wherever I was at, I would always kind of in that quick moment be like, whatever the challenge, whatever the test, whatever you're striving for, give it your best. And then I would go. So it was like, I always had that, just that drive, but I needed something. So I had whatever it was, if it was a visualization or if it was a comment of, you know, before I did my pass. I mean, I don't know. So it's like, just kind of getting me in my zone.
Can you say that again?
Oh yeah. Whatever the challenge, whatever the test, whatever you're striving for, give it your best.
I love it.
I think it was on a gymnastics poster that I had hung in my closet as a kid. And so it just became my mantra, I guess. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for whatever it is I want. And I'm going to give it my all, no matter what it is.
That's so good. I love it. I'm going to use it. Well, awesome. We are getting close to the end. Do you have anything else that you would like to add to the list for the listeners?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I just think that, like, we've talked a lot about mindset and breathing and just positivity, right? Like, just try to get yourself in a positive place. And if you feel like social media or someone that you're around or you're following or is taking you out of that positive place, then kind of shut it down, you know? Like, take yourself back and focus that, like, on yourself for a little while. You have to be the priority. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, I'm still here for my students and I'm still designing on a daily basis for people, but I need to take a step back and focus on, you know, getting me right. And being that same positive person that I'm, you know, I've always been for my students. So just don't be afraid to step back and focus on yourself for a little bit. It doesn't make you, selfish. It keeps you in the right game for your students.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great advice. One last question. What advice do you have about body image? I know a lot of us, even including myself, has struggled a little bit with just body image, and this can go into play with a little bit of that social media and that comparison trap of like, oh, I should be this because I'm a trainer, or that type of mindset. What advice do you have for women out there about just being true to the frame of their own body?
I would say it's a struggle and I understand the struggle. I'm in the struggle and, that's part of shutting it down. Like, if you know that there's something that is your, what's the word I'm looking for? Is your, I cannot even think of the word right now, but whatever puts you in that place is what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is then you have to shut that down. Because if not, it can spiral. And I would be lying if I said that I didn't have my own body image issues. You know, it's never taken me to the point where I've gotten to the extreme of like eating disorder, but it is something that I struggle with. I'm a perfectionist. And right now, with seeing how all this stuff with the hormones has affected my body, and I don't talk about it that much because I feel like, I know I'm still fairly small. So if I talk about it, what does that make people think about them? But it's not about them, right? It's not about anyone else. I want people to be happy in their body and I want to be happy in my body. But if I came on and said, oh, just be strong and whatever, then I would be in that fake space because I'm not there right now. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's me being That's part of my taking my step back and like just focusing in on me and figuring out what I have to do with the doctor so that I'm in my good space.
Well, and I think I just applaud you for that, because I don't think we hear it enough of I struggle with it too, of just my own physique and the body that was given to me. So I'm just grateful that you have the courage to speak about your truth and what you.
Yeah, the industry is what it, I think the industry puts even more. It's not that people are trying to, but just being in this industry and being perfectionist causes us to put that pressure on ourselves.
Yeah,
and I'm right there. I'm trying to work through it. I mean, here's a quick story about. So last week I went to I was on spring break with my daughter. You know, and I want to teach her not to worry about her body, right? It's not about always what we look like, but it's hard because there's that pressure of myself. And I remember being in a space where I'm like, well, I didn't want to be on the beach last week, which is just, it's dumb. When I really kind of get into like thinking about it, it was dumb, right? There were all these people out there that were way less fit in tiny little bikinis. And they were feeling great. And I was like, you know what? That's awesome. That is so awesome that they will do that. I'm not even wanting to go on the beach in a swimsuit. And I had to really kind of check myself last week because it was dumb. I'm like, when am I ever going to see these people again? For me to put that much pressure on myself, like they're going to be looking at me and wondering why I'm not as fit as I feel I should be. Right. It was really dumb. But it was something that really made me think last week. And I was like, okay, you gotta get your mind right. Cause that's just crazy.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing. What advice do you have for moms that are listening about raising their daughters and helping them not have some of the body issues or body shames that we may have grown up with?
Just being open with them. I think we have to. For a long time, I didn't. I didn't talk about it at all. Like if I was feeling something, because I was like, oh, if I'm worried about the way I look, what's that going to teach her? But then I started realizing that's not even coming just from me, right? She's in an industry. She's in a competitive cheer world where all that's coming from other people as well. So I started being more open when I was having my thoughts or my struggles started kind of talking through them with her so that she can learn that we're all going to have these ups and downs. And sometimes we're going to get our minds in a crazy place. But as long as we're making healthy choices, that's where we need to be. And it's not about just our body. It's about our hearts and our mind and kindness and treating people the right way. So I just try to kind of change it, but I'm open about it. I don't hide the fact that I'm like, man, things are a little bit softer right now. And she's like, Mom.
That's too good. Yeah,
I think we just have to be open and honest with them. It's just one more thing that if I wasn't honest with her, I think it would be just one more thing where I would feel like I was being fake. I just try not to put pressure on her. Like if she's thinking something's like, she'll be like, oh, I feel so bloated or not. I'm like, you have a six pack and you're this big around. Are you kidding me? Stop worrying about your body. Like you are beautiful. So I do that with her, but then she'll check me sometimes too. She'll be like, well, you said.
Love your mother-daughter relationship. From what I've seen online, it just seems like you guys are very supportive from each other. Advice about the mother-daughter relationship and how strong that type of friendship is?
You know what? It's like any other relationship. I think you have to work at it. I don't like being away from her, but it's the job that I have. And I chose that choice to travel more because I felt like it was a better way to support her after my divorce. But especially mother-daughters, like you're going to have like really great friend moments. And then you're going to have like these butthead moments, or at least we do. Her dad says that it's because we're too much alike and we do buttheads, but she's amazing. And I wouldn't change that. I mean, she really is like my biggest joy. And so I just say, you know, share as much time as you can because it goes so fast.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you. Anything else, like anything, workshops or anything like that coming up for you, or what can we expect for you from?
Oh gosh. What do I have coming up? I'm speaking at a women's retreat in Roanoke, Virginia in a couple weeks.
Cool.
And then after that, gosh, what I have, I'll be teaching the bodyweight cert at the Dome. So the Strong Push bodyweight cert. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching a bodyweight cert in San Diego, Poland. I'm going to Poland this summer to teach.
Fun.
And, Dallas, Seattle, Atlanta. So kind of a little bit of everywhere. I'm teaching a lot of the body weight, and then I'll teach a few, kettlebell as well.
Cool.
But that's the main thing. And just coaching, I'm doing, a lot of distance coaching, program design, stuff like that. So
yeah, well, we'll make sure all your contact information is in the show notes for those who want to work with you and everything. So
thank you so much. This has been fun, and I'm definitely honored and pleased to be here to talk with you tonight.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for sharing your stories. I know, that's like the main connecting point for a lot of listeners, and just showing your strength through your story and giving that encouragement, through some of the hardships that you're going through. So I just honor you and, I admire your strength through all of this. So thank you, Karen.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I hope that it helps some other people, but I also hope that as I'm learning all of this, I'm going to have more to share, and I'm just trying to be open about it and let people know that, you know, we all have our ups and downs, and it's just finding the strength through it and what we can share with others. So hopefully I'll have lots more to share with you guys and be able to help people that kind of experience the same thing. So
yeah. Awesome. Well, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it out with your family and friends, and make sure you grow the show with your 5 stars and a comment below. Other than that, I am peacing out until next week. Hey, Strong Ones, I have some really exciting news for you guys. I am hosting the Women of Iron Strength Retreat. This is for women who love lifting heavy, who love kettlebells, and also want to learn and progress their movement skills with the pistol squat, the pull-up, and the kettlebell press. I will be hosting this with Ann Cass Stevens down at her gym, Team Muscle Bus, in Salt Lake City, June 22nd and 23rd. So we'll be mainly focusing on those 3 movements, really diving into those and allowing you, giving you the skills and the tips for you can progress very quickly. We will also be diving in a little bit with the Strong First Level 1 and Level 2 movement and skills with those. This is not a Strong First event. It is just a retreat hosted by 2 Strong First instructors who are passionate about these 3 lifts, who want to empower women to feel comfortable and confident to be able to do a pistol squat, a pull-up, and a press. This retreat is not just getting PRs in those 3 lifts, but it's also getting PRs in life. PRs with new friendships, a new mental toughness, and a new level of emotional stamina as well. So come join us, me and Ann Cass Stevens, down at her gym, Team Muscle Bus, Salt Lake City area, June 22nd to 23rd. If you have questions about this event, let's connect. I'm on Instagram at Anna_Willard_. Hit me up in the DMs. You can find me on Facebook. Again, Anna Willard. Send me a private message. Or if you like the traditional way of connecting through email, my email is coachwillard10@gmail.com. If you have questions about this event, please let me know. Other than that, more information is down in the show notes. Again, this is an event for women, hosted by women, to get some PRs in lifting and some PRs in life. Other than that, Strong Ones, you guys have a wonderful week, and blessings on your journey.